RadioInfluence.com.
So it's Wednesday, Frank. It's Wednesday.
It is. It smells like a Wednesday.
It smells like a Wednesday to me, too. As a matter of fact, I just opened up my window here in my office to get some of this nice fresh air. And if you listen very carefully.
I hear the chirping of birds.
You can hear the chirping of birds.
Kind of sounds like an old Our Gang episode.
I never saw that, but...
Little Rascals.
Oh! Aw. Cute.
Yeah.
So we're going to open up the show to briefly talk. See, now, in the COVID-19 world, I have tuned it out. I'm really not paying attention to it anymore because, you know... So this is what happened to me. And then Frank is kind of in the epicenter of where this is going down, sort of, in New York. So
a epicenter, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's not what the New York Times said this morning. So the New York Times called it the epicenter.
I didn't know.
Yeah. So I was at CPAC, obviously. So when they said someone at CPAC had coronavirus, they didn't really give too much detail in the beginning. So I was like, oh, all right. Well, I've been home for 9 days now and I'm good. So I mean, I would have to assume I'm probably good, but just for caution purposes, I'm going to continue to not, you know, show affection to my children and husband, because who knows, right? Even though kids seem to be, knock on wood, somewhat immune to this disease. So then they started dripping out more information, and I started getting all these emails, Frank, from people. God, I'm so blessed people even gave a crap how I was doing. But most of the emails would be like, hey, I heard you know, you were at CPAC. I hope you're feeling well. You know, here's a few articles I thought you'd find of interest. And then I'd look at the articles and it was like, people convulsing in the streets after their arms fall off from coronavirus. Like all these horrible, horrible things about how people are like secretly dying or like get never curing of it. And they think they're cured, but then they get it again or it resurges or.
Yeah.
And it got to be too much, Frank. It just got to be too much. Too many people telling me about how there was a good chance I was going to die over and over and over again.
You know, Tracy, good to have you back. Good chance you're going to die, though.
No, and it was done with the best of intentions.
Oh, of course.
No,
it
really.
It always is.
Really, though, it was. Like, so I like one person in particular when I threaded, I'm trying to stay positive. And, you know, that's one of the things that keeps your body healthy is, you know, keeping your stress levels down. And in an unknown like this, I don't know if I've come into contact with someone who came into contact with someone. I have no idea. There were tens of thousands of people there. So it's sort of like I just have to continue with my life. And if God forbid I get sick, I get sick.
Yeah, but that was when? February what?
I left on March 1st.
March 1st. Okay, so you're 11 days into it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we'll see.
So, you know, it is what it is. But you, on the other hand.
Yeah.
Talk about it a little bit because it's a little bit of a different situation for you.
Well, there's a state of emergency here in New York now, but that's been like that for about a week and a half. As of early last week, Governor Cuomo said that precautionary quarantine numbers was up to 4,000, 1,000 in my county alone. And in the last 24 hours, we get news that the National Guard has been deployed to New Rochelle, which is seriously 5 minutes down I-95 south from me. And my buddy has worked at the New Rochelle Police Department for years. And I immediately got in touch with him. We make music together and all that stuff. I said, so what's going on? Are you sharing an office with some kind of a commander or something? He goes, no, actually, it's been pretty overblown what's going on. There's not like there's troops in the streets or anything like that. You know, MRAPs and all that. Nothing. He says they've just been brought in to help clean up and decontaminate public buildings and schools and on the north side of the city. So it's still pretty serious to know that there's been a deployment like that so close to you. But it's not like they're welding the doors shut like they are in China. So it's just that stuff's going through your mind and. I just can't wait till the whole damn thing is done with, because it's I don't know. It's got to be behind us. And eventually, once we can pop our heads up for air. I also have a friend who were I should finish that thought, too. Once we can pop up our heads for air, I'd love for people to start taking prepping a little bit more seriously around here.
Yeah,
I have enough food for Lauren and I for a while now. But my brother, my best friends, my parents, you know, my mother, she finally took my ideas seriously about 2.5-3 weeks ago to get herself maybe like a month supply of food from one of those Patriot supply places.
I'm going to say it, and it's not for any other reason than people want, like, I mean, if you're going to buy it, you might as well. It's preparewithtracy.com. That's my link to Patriot Supply. And they're way behind on shipping. There's been an influx.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. If you were to go to Prepare with Tracy 2 months ago, you would probably get food in two days. My mother got a 6 week waiting list message that was 2.5 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everybody was thinking the same way. Not only that, my Patriot Supply, I heard, is actually one of the few big distributors of storable foods that actually did not sell off all of its supplies to government agencies. There was quite a few food suppliers that started getting knocks on the door from government agencies, NGOs that just wanted to clean them out. And I guess in a case that they have to redistribute something, I don't know. But I heard at my Patriot Supply was one that reserved this just for people.
You know what's crazy is that they've been around for a really long time. Really, really long time, since way back when it was the Ron Paul days. And they said, you know, they everybody thought we were crazy back then for talking about prepping. Oh, you doomsday people that say the world is going to end and blah, blah, blah. So I have been doing this for a very long time. Just common sense stuff. Like, you never want to be caught in an emergency without being able to sustain yourself. You always want to have some cash on hand, because if the power goes out somewhere, you're not going to be able to use your debit cards, right? You want to make sure that you're good in a situation, whatever it may be. So nobody's mocking us anymore.
Well, no, because people aren't even freaking out about food anymore. They're freaking out about toilet paper.
I know.
I mean, seriously, there was my buddy was sending me, oh, and Lauren last night sent me pictures of a CVS that's like a half a mile from us, that people were there was a line out the door and down the sidewalk, people waiting one by one to be given a ration of hand sanitizer.
They are rationing that now. Yes.
People were limited to one bottle of hand sanitizer apiece, and toilet paper is gone. Like, oh my God. See, this is not even the real. And I look at these lines. I'm like, you know, regardless of what you think about this virus, if you think that they're all fools or whatever, it just shows how helpless we really are. You know, we live these very privileged lives, even if you think that you were born without privilege. We live very privileged lives over here, but we're very, very helpless. And this is a very fragile existence.
It's a very fragile existence with a bunch of very, very fragile people.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the biggest takeaway from this, is that there are a good, large contingent of people on both sides of the political spectrum that are freaking the F out. And nothing's even happening.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah. Now, the other reason why I wanted to say goodbye to this is maybe when cooler heads prevail, I think everybody should take this little brush with disaster as a real learning experience for making sure that you're ready for whatever. Because the other reason why you should expect something like this to happen again, Tracy, first and foremost, is because this is the only political tool that has actually wielded any kind of results for the media and the establishment here in the country. It, you know, they used it. They are riding a wave that started in China and are sweeping across the world right now. But everything that they have tried to do to tank the economy and to sow discord and to make people think that there's a real physical threat to life on Earth, that they can find a way to twist into a pretzel to make it be Donald Trump's fault. This is the only thing. So if you don't think that somebody's going to be, Joe Biden is not going to be going into crowded theaters in September sneezing on people, you have another thing going.
Yeah. Yeah. You. It's crazy. It's crazy. We're going to get into some election talk in a second, but I wanted to talk a little bit about specifically the situation with CPAC and what's going on here, because there's a guy named Raheem Kassam. I don't know if you know him. He's on the War Room podcast. He is editor-in-chief of National Pulse. He also is very sick. And he went to the hospital yesterday to get tested for coronavirus and was expressing some concern about the, I guess, the outreach from CPAC to folks who may have been in contact with this guy, right? And whoever has it, whatever his name is. And he went yesterday, he did a half hour podcast or half hour Periscope about what the process was like. He tested negative for flu. He tested negative for all these other things that they check you for, all different coronaviruses outside of this main coronavirus. He tested negative for all those things. He is on the mend, by the way. He was really sick last week, but he's feeling much, much better now. He's still a little sick, but he has no fever anymore and blah, 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 blah. But there's this like war going on between he and the people at CPAC, because he's been very vocal about the lack of information he feels coming from there. Let's listen. I haven't listened to this yet, but he just shared this morning. Odd and uncomfortable attempt by Match Slap to blame me for their coronavirus situation, which embarrassed the president, congressman, etc. And then he says, Schlapp asserts I'm grinding an axe because I wasn't on his speaking schedule this year. I spoke for CPAC for years and at CPAC Australia. I don't need to speak at CPAC. I was on the speaker advisory board this year. I didn't recommend myself. It's sad that he says he holds him in contempt. After 2 days of panic calls from CPAC attendees, speakers, and VIPs, I was asked to make public the info we had all gathered. I took the risk knowing Schlapp, Schneider, and Ian B. Walters may be upset, but it's a public health crisis that's more important than PR. And then he goes through all the things he did and the fact that they didn't reach out to him and they smeared him anyway.
Matt, one of the reasons for that is you've gotten a lot of criticism from your fellow conservatives who are at CPAC about the way this was handled. Raheem Kassam, editor-in-chief of National Pulse, said he was apoplectic to learn about this. And
let's go through that.
Okay.
Let's go through it. Do you know why Raheem Kassam is worried?
Well, he said he wasn't feeling well after attending the conference.
So what do you do when you don't feel well, Mike? We've just gone through this. If you feel like, if you have a temperature spike, what do you do?
Stay at home.
Yeah, and you go to your doctor.
Right.
Instead, what this gentleman decided to do was take to Twitter and induce a near panic. I'm sorry that Raheem was not included on our speaker schedule, and I'm sorry that he has a bone to pick with us, but using a healthcare moment of where people are worried, to use that to try to stick a stake in my heart was a mistake. And there were other people associated. Look, my movement isn't perfect. It's you know, got a lot of characters in it. And I think the conservatives who have acted irresponsibly here, I hold them in the same contempt as I hold reporters who are simply trying to make this a big political deal.
And you know what? I kind of agree with Matt, because he did take to Twitter in a very frantic sort of a way, and he kind of scared me, and I knew what was going on because they've been very vocal about what's going on. They did send out several emails. They did tell people he wasn't around a lot of other people. They did say we've contacted everyone he came in contact with. And, you know, Michelle Malkin was another one who really just fanned the flames of this to make it worse than it was, rather than acting somewhat more responsibly about it. Like, that it's just not what you do. Like, if I was in his situation and I was sick after CPAC, I would go to my doctor, I would get tested, I would make some calls behind the scenes, figure out what's going on. If I did end up having coronavirus, likely I would talk about it publicly, but I wouldn't do that until after I already knew.
So you're saying that all the CPAC coronavirus things in general was based on this? The scare was based on this frantic knee jerk Twitter tirade
from a bunch of different people.
Okay.
Yeah.
But nobody has been confirmed.
No.
Sick.
Nope.
Okay. See, this is what makes. I'm telling you, this kind of thing is why you have people out there who have given up believing that the virus is real at all.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
There are people that just give it up. The people who are on the opposite side, where they believe that there's going to be tens of millions dead, and then there's just what the hell is there any way to moderate this? But you can't, because it seems like anybody can only ever get anything done if you live within an extreme these days.
Yeah, no, you're right. And, this is the thing. He was sick after he left CPAC. He was sick. He was very sick. Right. But he didn't go to get tested until yesterday. And even if he had it, like, what changes? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just my opinion. I mean, everybody's got one. So you might not agree with me, but there's just a way to keep a level head, in my opinion, about this stuff. And I don't know. I mean, a lot of people jumped on it for publicity, and it's sick. I just I shake my head every day at the level of some of the crap we deal with. So let's move on to election coverage, shall we?
Please.
We're moving on to election coverage. Coverage of the 2020 primary season, where Joe Biden, a man who has decided that insulting voters, threatening to beat them up, and cursing at them is the way to win hearts and minds, has apparently beaten Bernie Sanders in every state.
Yes, I know. All of his charm has just driven him to these heights.
Yes.
As you said before, he's a very charming man.
He is very charming. He cares very much about his fellow man and uniting people. As we could see yesterday from the video of him insulting an a union member in Michigan.
Well, listen, the union member had it coming.
Well, I mean, he asked about the Second Amendment. So.
Yes, he had it coming. Joe Biden loves you and your family. If he gets angry, it's just because you're just annoying him.
It's that. Or it's this.
On the coronavirus,
we've been both targeting over this exchange this morning with the voter about guns. Any regrets about how you handle it?
Well, I'm surprised that Sanders is joining Trump. I
get
surprised.
Wasn't it early to swear?
I'm surprised. That was his attempt at creating some sort of a plot twist. Oh, Bernie Sanders.
I just think that he has no idea where he is.
Now Sanders is joining Trump.
That has nothing to do with you telling a union worker that he's full of shit for asking you about why you brought Beto on as your freaking gun czar.
Yeah.
The man who literally said he wanted to take all of our guns away.
Well, it's because, and the funny thing there is that his default is saying, Bernie is joining Trump, when it's obvious that going for someone like Beto O'Rourke is a play trying to pry away some Bernie supporters by seeing one of these crazy assholes, Beto O'Rourke, being brought in some kind of a administrative sense to take care of a hot button item like guns.
There's also this, Frank. There's also this.
Where do you see the race right now? Where do you see this going for Joe Biden?
I believe that Joe Biden will be the Democratic nominee. And I've always said I'm going to support whoever the nominee is. So I hereby am endorsing Joe Biden to be not just the nominee for the Democratic Party, but the next president of the United States.
Oh, Yang Gang. Oh, Yang Gang.
He hereby endorses.
Yang sold his soul to CNN and the establishment devil. And he's endorsing Joe Biden.
He issued a decree.
Yes. I can't roll my tongue, so.
I hereby endorse Joe Biden for president of the United States of America.
You have to say the R in the hereby.
I hereby.
There we go. Yes.
This is so stupid.
So.
I had Rich on the show last night, the last 10 minutes, just because, you know, it was about 8:50 p.m. and I wanted to see how things were going. And he pretty much was spelling doom for Bernie at that point as well. It turned out to all be true. It baffles me here how anybody can actually think that Joe Biden is a better shot at beating Trump. I don't think that this is about it. All comes back down to Ukraine for me in particular. I don't think that this is really about the party being so opposed to Bernie Sanders because he's a self-avowed democratic socialist. There is nothing about the Democrat Party that isn't. You have CNN, you have Bill Maher, everybody else out there who has talked about this stuff has been massaging the public for a while. What's so wrong with socialism? The world has changed over here in the United States. Nobody is shy about what the Democrat Party is founded, is pretty much sitting on top of as a platform. Nobody's shy about it. I just really think that by making everybody circle their wagons around Joe Biden, they're going to have at least 7 months of being able to have some kind of political protection if this Ukraine stuff continues to develop behind the scenes, because they're totally exposed that Bernie Sanders is on out there. From everything I've seen so far, from Mitt Romney on down, Bernie Sanders hasn't been mentioned out there in Ukraine. So they might just be exposed as a party. I really do think that Joe Biden is just the cork that has been stuffed at the end of the wine bottle.
He is literally a shell. He is a puppet. And the Democrat Party has a major problem when Van Jones is even voicing concern about what's going to happen to all these people that have been disenfranchised, like this man, for example. Hold on. He's in a coffee shop screaming like that about Biden winning.
An older man,
maybe in his 40s, early 50s, maybe, from what I'm looking at here. Dressed nicely, buttoned down, pants, gets kicked out. Where's he going? Is he going to vote for Biden?
No, he's not. But here's what I wanted to bring on up. OK, March 10th. I had a few of these screenshots that I wanted to bring up tonight on my show. March 10th, NPR Politics, at 6:37 p.m. New House Majority Whip James Clyburn tells NPR if Bernie Sanders doesn't win any states tonight, the Democrat National Committee should, quote, shut this primary down and, quote, cancel the rest of the debates.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Ryan Saavedra puts on out there about Clyburn as well. Then you have James Carville comes out, says, quote, let's shut this puppy down and worry about November. This thing is decided. You are looking at the Democrats are trying to stop the primaries with over half of the country still haven't being able to vote.
Isn't that something
that you want to talk about the fix being in? Now, I don't understand here. What I don't understand is why people like this say something is not right. Go further than that. We would be living in a completely different society right now. Completely different society right now. If all there was with the differences in our political reality was Donald Trump, I think he's kind of a clown. I don't like his policies. That would be a completely different world other than Donald Trump, racist, bigot, genocidal lunatic, making the world hate us, blah, blah, blah. You know, all the crazy, phobic, crazy ass things that have been said about him. They've got to be able to go a step further and realize that the same party and their media that is doing this to them gave them all of the opinions they have on Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That they have on Donald Trump, they were given to them by the people who are screwing them over for the second general in a row.
In a row. Right. The second presidential election in a row. Here, let's listen to Van Jones real quick, because this is interesting to me.
It was a very dangerous moment for the Democratic Party. You have now an insurgency that's about to be defeated. What do you do with the people that you defeat? there was a hope on the part of a lot of young people. They had a champion. You got young people who are graduating with $250,000 in debt. You got young people in, with a lot of pain, and they had a champion. Mm-hmm. And that they thought that they were going to be able to surround a divided establishment with their movement, crush that divided establishment, and move forward. Instead, the establishment united and stopped them. Now what do you do? Last time Bernie Sanders got beaten, there was an assumption that all those people were just going to fall in line and vote against Trump, and there was not enough care for the concern and the pain of his base. I think tonight there's going to be a lot of crowing, a lot of relief on the part of the establishment, but keep it temperate and turn to those people and say, we want to be your champion.
Yeah. Yep.
You see, it's a false champion.
Yep.
And this is the other reason why it's hard for people to put this together. He was a false champion from the beginning. He was looking for something that the Ron Paul kids got. But the thing is that you're steeped in this far left wing culture over here in the United States, that if you're looking at $250,000 worth of college debt and you're looking at all these things standing in your way to start your life as a young adult here in America, and you are not allowed, because of your training since you were in kindergarten, to consider anything outside of the leftist purview of the world, then obviously the only revolutionary thing you can do is to go so far to the left that you find yourself in the arms of the clammy hands of Bernie Sanders. I mean, you can't consider anything else. So that's why he's just a false champion. You know, electing a communist is not going to do anything to improve education, let alone your job prospects. So it's so much. I just hope that somebody out there continues to put the pieces together, because it doesn't stop here.
It happened in 2016. If you don't think it's going to happen again, I mean, I think it'll happen again. I mean, a lot of the people that are Bernie supporters now are very, very extreme. So I don't know how many of them will come on over, but that's what happened in 2016. And they're here now. They're here.
Yeah.
I have an article that's just going up actually right now on Uncover DC from Dr. Carlin. Her first article on Uncover DC, it's titled, Dear Democrats, It's Time to Accept That You're Getting 4 More Years of Trump. And she goes through all the reasons why. And she goes through some of the Biden stuff. She's not a Trump fan. She is not a President Trump fan yet. But she's seeing it more and more. Like she tweeted out today. She said, I wanted to share this one because she's really, really smart. And I love that she's not a Democrat anymore. Hold on. I just want to tell you this one thing.
Ugh.
It's so cute that the Democrats really thought Bernie supporters would just fall in line with the DNC's handpicked candidate after they robbed him of the nomination again. Watching Democrats argue in the comments is literally the perfect way to start this glorious Wednesday. Like, this is where these people are going. They get it. They see it. And I just want more of them. I want many, many more of them. As many as possible, please. Bring yourselves on over. We will accept you. It's warm over here. We tend to have a good time. We're making a lot of money. And, you know, we're all about truth, justice, in the American way.
And I'm telling you, it's about Ukraine. I think that this is just another hard choice that had to be made by the DNC to... Because, you know, Rich was telling me that I asked him, I said, OK, well, is there any kind of metric? Is there any kind of polling that actually tells you that Joe Biden had a better chance of beating Donald Trump than Bernie Sanders? He said, no. I said, OK, so then if it really comes down to the Democrat Party not wanting to align themselves with a Democratic socialist, I don't buy that at all.
Yeah,
I don't buy that at all. Because if he's the only one with energy behind him, Bernie Sanders, if he's the only one with any kind of energy and momentum, and he's actually a ticket to defeating Donald Trump in some kind of reasonable way, then they would have put themselves on board with anybody.
They
don't have a platform right now. All they have is anybody but Trump.
That's their whole platform. You're right.
So you're telling me that they went with Joe Biden because it's anybody but Trump, but the guy is not even as strong as Bernie Sanders? This has to do about political protection. It has to be about Ukraine, because what the hell else could it really be? It at least gives him an alibi for the next 7 months.
I mean, Mitt Romney came around. Mitt Romney came around on the subpoenas.
I don't know.
You're right. You're right. But I'm just saying there's pressure being put on these people in several different directions.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why it may look like it doesn't make sense, but there's a lot of people that are making nonsensical decisions because there's the choices to make are so bad up against the wall. You know, you're in this game for, I don't know how many years.
How the hell are these two candidates going to debate each other?
Well, I mean, if the DNC and all of their minds have anything to do with it, they're going to try to stop the debate. They want to stop the debates right now. The reason why, and I know you know, and I know probably people out there are drawing conclusions now here too. The reasons why NPR, James Clyburn, James Carville, everybody's saying, all right, well, Biden won, Bernie is dead, and let's just move on. No more debates. Let's concentrate on November. The reason why they're doing that is because they know that this is completely fraudulent. And if they put up Joe Biden versus Bernie Sanders one-on-one in Arizona, and everybody sees that this guy is still a lower functioning man every day he wakes up, they're going to know it's less and less legitimate.
What about when he has to debate President Trump?
Oh, God. Oh, God. It's going to be sad. It's going to be a real – I'm going to love it.
I mean
– I'm going to love it, but I don't know. When do those debates start? August? September is the first one?
That's a good question. Let me see. When is the first general election debate? September 29th, 2020.
My, oh, my. How life is going to be so different by September 29th.
When do you think that Joe Biden announces his running mate?
Do you have to announce that by your nomination day or no? No, probably soon after nomination.
Let's see. When do you need to announce your VP? It says, yeah, it looks like August, right before convention.
Okay. I thought their convention's in June or something.
When is DNC convention? July 13th.
Okay.
There's still so much election left. I can't believe they're trying to shut this down. Is there a mathematical way that he can win, Bernie, or can grab enough delegates to make?
Yeah, well, I don't think that it's out of the equation for anybody to still clinch. What's the delegate count? Hold on, Drudge Report usually has a delegate count up on top. Here you go. Right now, Biden has 837 delegates and Sanders 689 with 1,991 to win the nomination.
Left. See? There's still time.
Oh, there's still time. There's still time for a lot of things. There's still time for, especially you're playing for the brokered convention. And where is it? Is Wisconsin is going to be there?
Minnesota?
Where is it? I forget where their convention is going to be. Where did that socialist on the inside of Bernie's campaign say that
it's in Milwaukee?
Milwaukee. That's what they said, that there's going to be car fires.
Yeah,
and stuff
yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
I just am waiting. I'm just waiting to see what these people are going to do.
July 13th to July 16th in Milwaukee. So if none of them get 1,991 of the total 3,979 pledged delegates, then they go to that. They go to down to the wire in July. And I'll tell you, if you're able to do this now and you're able to kill this off now and give people four months to simmer down a little bit, that would be helpful. But if this goes down to the wire and we have to wait on a brokered convention and that we are in Milwaukee, everybody's watching this now. And in Milwaukee is when the final nail is actually driven into Bernie's coffin, that is going to be fresh emotion.
Bernie Sanders doesn't want to become a target of the same people that have been running his campaign, he had better keep himself right in this race.
Oh, Bernie's not going to be a target of the same people that ran the campaign.
I don't think Bernie will. If he drops out?
Oh, if he actually can. If he doesn't fight to the end, you mean? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If he bends the knee again, like he did in 2016, because this is his final shot. In 2024, you know Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is running. You know that. And she's going to pick she's going to pick Ayanna Pressley or somebody like that as a VP. It's going to be an all-female socialist ticket, woman of color, female socialist ticket in 2024. You can bet your life on it. And then she's going to run every 4 years like Ralph Nader after that. Doesn't matter.
Well, look at what's going on right now. I mean, you know, how can they, like, they can't have 90-year-old men running for president again next time around.
This is the last time you're going to see this. But I hope it's the last time we see a lot of things.
Yeah, me too.
Rich made a great point. Rich Barris made a great point on Twitter last night. And I believe he said it on my show that Democrats, where the hell is it? Hold on a second. I think he actually tagged me in one of those. He said, as I just told Political Orgy, Democratic voters clearly still believe the media and their party, unlike GOP voters circa 2016 on electability. See, in 2016, we didn't give a damn about what people on Fox and Karl Rove were saying about Donald Trump or anything else. We said we're voting for who we want to, and it's enough of you. We can't stand it. Why is that? Because John McCain, Mitt Romney, you see, I wasn't voting. I didn't vote for them anyway. I was voting for other people at that point, but third party. But still, you're talking about the biggest Republican center right base in the country. They were fed people like John McCain and Mitt Romney.
Yep.
For consecutive cycles.
Yep.
Because on the backs of them being quote unquote electable, and they kept losing.
Yeah.
And now the Democrats are actually in that position right now where they have not shaken off the media and the party. But the problem is, once they do that, they might start seeing the entire world differently.
Right. And this is what Rich just said. He said, this is what someone said. If Biden wins, Bernie folks won't vote for him. We'll vote for Trump. We hate Biden more than Trump. We never wanted anything to do with the DNC or the greedy, corrupt Dems. Greedy, corrupt corporate Dems. This is the end of your money party. Four more years of Trump will destroy you, and you deserve it. And I saw this over and over and over again.
My only thing is here is, I understand that Trump as a personality has been very divisive, and he has not made it easy on himself. He's a very bombastic guy, and the media has been able to use that to spin it in whatever direction they want. But for those people who are saying a vote for Trump or at least staying home on election night is something that the DNC deserves at this point, why can't you go beyond the revenge, which revenge is a very natural human thing. I understand that. And especially if it's as harmless as pulling a lever in the voting booth or not voting at all, knowing that it's going to harm one person, whatever.
Or writing someone in.
Or writing, I see, write in Birdie.
Yeah.
But still, why not look even deeper into that and say, well, hey, I'm complaining about student loan debt and people are making more money. We understand now with this coronavirus that we need to bring people back home. We need to bring our manufacturing back home. We can't be left in the lurch like this, especially with industries and products like medicine. We can't have 90% of our medicine being produced in a country we can't trust, like China. And that's all because of high tax policies that drove away American business. I mean, I said it last night with my guest, Craig Mason. We came to a conclusion that if you really talk about national security, high taxation, high tax policies is really a national security threat. If you look at coronavirus right now.
Yes. Yes. And I just actually put up an amazingly well-researched piece today from Carol King about the supply line, what comes from China, what we've done to stop it under a President Trump, and how that's worked out. The steps have been. And there have been plenty. There have really been a lot of things that President Trump's been trying to do to stop that.
Indeed. Indeed. He's got to be. Well, once we start stabilizing and the hysteria battens down a little bit here, he's got to really drive home. And I hope that people on the inside, if anybody that is associated with Trump's press team listens to this podcast, please, please hammer home how he was right about China. Hammer
it's
home.
So important.
Please. You're missing this. Please hammer it home.
It should be the response to everything right now. There's this whole big thing going on socials right now. Like, so bye-bye Biden is trending.
I see it.
And so there are all the people that are using bye-bye Biden to say, you're going to lose your ass in November and we don't care. People are angry. And then there's people saying, everyone should be alarmed when a hashtag like bye-bye Biden trends at 4 a.m. after a candidate crushes it in the primary the night before. This is clearly foreign interference in our election
process. Oh, yeah? You want to see foreign interference? Number four, trending across the entire United States with only 5,500 tweets. Bye-bye Trump.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, that's...
Because president... Because Biden can't even fill a gymnasium. This is going to be something to watch. It really is. It makes during the impeachment, I would say it on every hit that I did. I don't know what these people have up their sleeve, but they can't be this stupid. And the more I start to realize, I think that I might be wrong. I think that there is a very good chance that the Democrats are so desperate at this point that they are stupid and they're not thinking strategically at all. So we had one more thing last night that I think we need to talk about, and that is President Donald Trump endorsing Tuberville, Tommy Tuberville, over Jeff Sessions.
In Alabama, yeah.
I can't believe it, because his positions on immigration and you know, he's come around a little, but this is something else. So this is not, I'm sorry, I don't want to burst anyone's bubble. Some people have made some pretty okay arguments, but this is not 4D chess. You don't tank a Senate seat for somebody because you like them. He says Tommy Tuberville is running for U.S. Senate for the great state of Alabama. He's a terrific head football coach at Auburn University. He's our real leader who will never let MAGA, CAG, or our country down. Tommy will protect your Second Amendment, which is under siege, is strong on crime and the border, and truly loves our military and our vets. He'll be a great senator for the people of Alabama. Coach Tommy Tuberville, a winner, has my complete and total endorsement. I love Alabama. Poor Jeff Sessions. Poor Jeff Sessions. Yeah. I mean, let me tell you something. I feel bad for him, because in my opinion, to this day, he had no choice but to recuse.
Seriously. I know everybody says it, and people from Alabama, maybe they have opinions that reasons to be critical of Jeff Sessions. I don't know about, because I only know about his time in the national public eye. But
as far as
his time in the executive branch, I really do feel bad for him too.
People are going to hate this that we're saying that, but I feel bad for Jeff Sessions. Like, he did so many good things when he was in the Department of Justice outside of Russia. And I'm reading through a bunch of FOIA. Just keep your eyes peeled on me in the next couple of days, okay? That's all I'll say. But he was under investigation in the investigation. How do you not recuse yourself?
Hard choices. And you know what? Especially in hindsight is 2020. That's number one. Number two, even when we were in the middle of all this stuff, when it was the first quarter of 2017, and we all smelled a rat with the Russia stuff, but we didn't have all the evidence yet. Everybody just knew this is horseshit. If you're a Democrat, if you're a lefty, you're looking at this going, oh, good, we can take out Trump. Let's see what we can find. It was all just starting at that point.
You know,
right now we have all the pieces. So hindsight's 2020. You say, oh, why would Jeff Sessions recuse himself? Well, you know.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I read the 302s from his chief of staff, and I've been contacted by members of his family once removed. And I feel bad for him. I just feel bad for him. I know, you know, I'm reading. Let me tell you something, though. I'm rereading a bunch of stuff that came out, you know, referencing the very early first quarter of 2017, right after the inauguration. And reading that testimony again really clues you in onto what people actually did know that early and what they didn't, knowing what we know now, if that makes sense at all.
Yeah.
And to be honest, Tuberville really isn't a MAGA candidate from what I've read. So I don't know. I mean, I guess the people of Alabama will need to speak for themselves when they go to vote. But I feel like a lot of people are just going to do what Donald Trump said.
I don't know how I feel. First of all, like I said, it's not my business. It's Alabama's business. But when I see stuff like that, I just keep looking around saying, see, it wasn't Kabuki theater. He really does not like Jeff Sessions.
No, that's exactly right. That's what I said. I said, does anyone need any more proof? Like Trump, President Trump liking Sessions and what Sessions did while he was attorney general are two different topics, in my opinion. Two different topics. Clearly he doesn't. Clearly he's angry. Every single 302, every single transcript, every single unearthed like quote, all of it lends itself to, you know, Trump was not happy with Jeff Sessions recusing himself at all. And in addition to that, he brought in Rod Rosenstein, which to me was a stupid thing too, because he is a snake and a half. Rod Rosenstein is a snake and a half. I know Brian and I don't agree, but.
Well, snake and a half.
Snake and a half. That's what I say. You know, I didn't get to play something on Friday's show that I wanted to play and I said I was going to play from the Supreme Court nonsense that was going on.
What?
I'm going to find it really quickly because I really wanted to play it. It was this actress. Hold on. I'm just going to hold on. We're going to close out the show on a light note, Frank.
Great.
Here's a guy doing a Donald Trump impression that really just made me laugh my ass off. Here we go. You ready?
Uh-huh.
So a lot of people ask me, how do you do the Donald Trump impression? I say, look, it's really easy. What you do is you start with your normal voice and you gradually start to make it sound just a little bit raspy, but not too much and not too little.
Yeah.
When you take a breath, you say that breath was perfect. It was totally perfect. And people are saying it was probably the best breath they've ever seen, which is right, which is totally right. You'll occasionally fumble a word. You'll say, I think we're looking at suspicious people, and no one seems to notice. No one notices.
That's fantastic.
It was really, really, really good.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Does he do? Usually somebody who can do something like that can do other impressions great, too. Is he a personator?
It was from TikTok.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if he's an impersonator or not. I'm going to check it out. And by the way, I think I'm going to start my own TikTok because they're so much fun. So everybody who wants to check it out, go to TikTok. And I guess by the time of this recording, it will be Tracy Beans on TikTok, unless someone else has it, in which case I've directed you to the completely wrong location.
My brother just started one of those like 2 weeks ago. He's already got like
700 million people following him.
Tens of thousands of people. Yeah,
probably. He's just very popular.
Yeah.
Your brother.
Yes, he is.
He's a very popular guy. Here it is. I found it. Okay. This is somebody named, and I don't know if you've ever heard of her. She's wearing a scrunchie. Hold on. I'm looking for her name. Someone said it in here. It's a name I've never heard. Busy Phillips. She has a nighttime show, apparently.
I don't know.
You don't know who that is?
No.
Are you ready?
Oh, fucking yeah. Home.
Everybody, language alert. If you have your children in the car, if you have your fellow Helgas with you or your little 11-year-olds, please mute this or pause it because there's a language alert. Ready?
Yeah.
I was sitting sitting in Los Angeles in my beautiful office of my own late night talk show. Soon I would be driving my hybrid car to my beautiful fucking home to kiss my two beautiful and healthy children and my husband who had taken the year off to parent so I could focus on my career. Because I was allowed bodily autonomy at 15. I will not be shamed into being quiet. We will not be shamed into being quiet. Never again. I will never stop talking about my abortion or my periods or my experiences in childbirth.
Oh, God, you disgusting creature.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a disgusting creature. And that's not because she has periods either. It's because she's a driven animal.
It's not because of her
episiotomies.
Who the hell wants to hear about your episiotomy, lady? I don't.
Like, where is it? Like, what? Where in this country are people shamed? No, you're not allowed in this state. You're not allowed to blog about your pap smears. Like, well, where have you been? What are you talking about? And we're so happy that your husband got to take off he got to not work for a year, so you can go and do whatever. You're not going to stop talking about your period. Nobody cares about your goddamn period.
Nobody cares about it. Nobody.
But, I guess having an abortion is just as good as getting your GED on the left these days. It qualifies you.
Let's not talk about why she was pregnant at 15.
It's not your choice. It's her bodily autonomy.
Yes.
She had the autonomy to get knocked up. She had the autonomy to rip the baby out afterwards. And now look at her. She's very happy and balanced.
She is very balanced. She seemed very balanced to me. And a lot of people commented underneath that if you took a look at her mouth, like they thought that she was on something.
Oh, well, she's on many things.
She's probably on Prozac and all kinds of other meds.
She's on rhino tranquilizers. In fact, after she has a staff member that stands off to the stage. When they know that she's winding down with her speech, they have the dart gun ready. Because that's the only way that she'll ever calm down. And on that day, they probably had to blow her with two darts.
Two.
Yeah.
One on each side. One on each flank. One on each flank. That's it for today, Frank.
Okay.
Unless you've got something else you'd like to add.
I've got nothing.
The interview on Monday was absolutely fantastic. I listened back to it. Whew. Different when you listen to it than when you're in it. Very amazing. We'll have her back on again for fact diving. She's great.
Oh, yeah. I've been telling everybody about it.
Yeah, it was a really, really good one. I got a ton of emails. And I'm working on another special guest for the show. Devil face.
Do I know?
Nope. You don't even know yet.
Oh, no.
Dun, dun, dun.
The surprise.
Yes. You have been listening to the Wednesday edition of the Dark Delight podcast with...
Hump, hump, hump day, Val, and...
Bean, bean, beans, day beans. That's what I'm saying today. You can find us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, or a podcast. Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you on roll your R.
Friday.
Yay. Later.
Later.
This is an MJ Morning Show podcast quick fix on Radio Influence.
Neil in St. Louis, thanks for the email. I do appreciate it. What was the crotchety old man call where you got stuck in the trunk at the mall? Any chance you can play that? That was, I think, help, I'm stuck in the trunk. And wasn't I at like the Brandon Town Center or something back in the day?
I think so.
That's a classic crotchety call for Jill. You got it.
AAA Locksmith.
Oh, thank God you answered. Hello?
Hello, yes, sir.
Is this the locksmith?
Yes, this is the locksmith.
I'm stuck in the trunk of my car.
The MJ Morning Show podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, MJMorningShow.com, and RadioInfluence.com.